Hi, you are watching Sipping Off the Cuff on TequilaAficionado.com. That's part of Tequila Aficionado Media. I am Mike Morales here in San Antonio and in San Diego.
Rick Levy.
Rick Levy, our guy in San Diego, our second in command, who has been helping us out with our Sipping Off the Cuffs. And Rick, we have just fallen all over ourselves with Tres Ochos, 888, not to be confused with 88 Tequila. Because there is an 88 tequila that's based out of the city of
or Tequila Ocho.
Or Tequila Ocho, for that matter. This adds one more Ocho, and so you got three of these. And look at the logo on this thing, man. I don't know if anybody is even checking that out. Where's this tequila? That's an agave head. That's so
piña.
Cool. A piña. And look at the embossed
medallions on the covers. And crack it open. Show us what's inside.
Look what's inside. It's wrapped in tissue. I don't know about you, Rick, but I love stuff wrapped in tissue. It's like opening
like
up
Christmas.
A present. It's like Christmas. or you know, that's why Tiffany is always that Tiffany blue. You know what I mean?
And, yeah. But then look at that gold against that yellow.
Wow.
Don't get rid of the paper yet. Hold up yours. Hold up your añejo against the yellow paper.
Can you see it?
See, look at that deep dark color.
Wow. This is now here's the thing though, Rick. Remember we were talking about the you said that this was aged 11 months.
11 months in white oak. We're not sure.
This is the Reposado, right? And this is the añejo, and you can see that there's only a slight variation in color. How long are these, the age, the añejos, do you know?
They say 3 years.
This is a three-year añejo? Really?
That's what they said.
Wow. Okay, so if that's the case, then I'm going to stand by what I said, and these are probably used barrels.
In order to get that much color.
I think so, because if this were a new barrel, it'd be way darker. I mean, for 3 years? Now, and again, this distillery is known a lot for its añejos. It really does great barrel management. If you're familiar with Tonalá, you know,
they do a lot with different types and sizes of barrels there.
They have a glass version of Tonalá. I think don't they make a 4 year? And if I'm not mistaken, I have had it. I had it the first year, the first trip I ever took to Tequila. And for me, it was really too sweet, but it's a well-known, I believe it's a 4 year añejo. It's over three for sure. At the time there were añejos, there were no extra añejos, but now I guess you could consider them extras. And it had a beautiful deep color. You know, it was a very rich color, not unlike this one. Okay. But I don't know what to expect on the flavor.
Well, I would really like to know if they're using used barrels or not. Because a lot of times when used barrels are utilized, they'll say, you know, used American oak.
Right.
But here they're just saying white oak, which had me thinking of like the Taranso barrels that Casanoble uses from France.
Right. And those are virgin. They use a virgin barrel. Those barrels are made for them. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, you know, I wasn't, with the Reposado, I wasn't getting a lot of the sweetness that you would often get from like a used whiskey or bourbon barrel.
It'll
be interesting to see how sweet this añejo is.
Well, I know newer used, they have to be, most often they're recharred. You know, I think that's part of using a used barrel, you know, so you don't, so it doesn't taste completely like whiskey, but you don't lose the, you know, you get some more of the oils that come through on the wood. I don't know. I don't know how they do their barrel management.
Well, the char is going to contribute a lot to the color as well.
Yeah. That's why I'm a little surprised that this is a 3 year and it's almost as dark as their Reposado. I mean, it's maybe a shade darker, but not by much.
Yeah,
and you can see I'm using the Glencairn, and you can see the. Of course, I have a red background, so see if you can see. There you go.
Yeah, it's still really coating the glass, as it did with the Blanco and the Reposado.
Yep, yep. Not, oh, nice. Holy cow.
And what we were saying with the Blanco is that we think they might be doing some large cuts on the heads and tails, reducing possibly some of the complexity, but really focusing on the heart of the distillation, which would, you know, really give you strong agave aromas and flavors.
Yeah, it was very agave, green agave forward. And you didn't lose it either on the Reposado. You know, that's, for me, the Repo, the aging in the wood, just gave it one more layer of complexity. Because, you know, the Blanco in and of itself was not, as we said, it wasn't too difficult to pin down. So there wasn't a whole lot of complexity going on there. But it starts to happen when you age it more in the wood. I love how this smells. Wow, this has got a great nose.
Yeah. It you know, really does. It follows the Reposado.
Much stronger nose and sweeter on the nose, too.
Yeah, the agave aromas are probably beginning to get muted a bit.
Yeah, I can't pick it out so much in the Añejo like I did in the Reposado. You can still pick it out. Wow. This smells really, really good, though. Sweet. I'm getting like maybe some brown sugar on the nose a little bit. Wood for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got whiskey wood in it. You know what I mean? That's what it really reminds me of, a whiskey. Girl, we won't know really until we start to intake a little bit.
Yeah, we're wondering what the sweetness is going to be.
Okay, you're still getting that explosion in the middle of your palate.
Yeah, I think when we did the Reposado, I was talking about how with Reposados, I'm used to, you know, some of the edges kind of being rounded out from the Blanco.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't get that with the Reposado, which was, you know, really a pleasant surprise, I guess.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, nothing was lost from the Blanco, and then a layer of complexity was added by the wood in the Reposado.
Mm-hmm.
And then here in the Añejo is where I'm starting to feel like maybe some of the edges are getting rounded a bit.
Yeah, this is definitely more, and I would say whiskey forward, because I think it's going in dry and it finishes sweet. I don't think that I'm not getting the bourbon style where it goes in sweet and finishes dry. I'm getting the reverse here. You know, I'm getting some dryness at the front, but there's a nice sweet finish, which really complements the finish, because the finish has been medium to none. You know, it's not a long finish on this on any of the three, you know, varietals. So.
You know, I still get like a light pepper finish.
Yeah, I get that in the middle of my palate, still explodes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very pretty nose. Now,
yeah, and what I like about it is that it's not super sweet. You know, the sweetness is really tempered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is really kind of like my sweet spot, because I don't like sweet tequila.
I don't either. You know, not as a rule. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just not. You know, some of them are easy to intake, and other ones are just way too cloying for me. I believe that when they dropped your shipment off to you in San Diego, they said they were headed for Las Vegas.
Yes,
they were headed for a cigar show, not the Big Smoke, which is Cigar Aficionado, but they were headed for the other cigar magazine is having a function there. I don't think Rick, you're a cigar guy.
I'm not a smoker, no.
I am. I would say that the Reposado is really more cigar forward than the Añejo. This Añejo is a little bit sweeter. So, if I was going to pair this with a cigar, I would go I would go with something that would be kind of an in between, more of a mild cigar as opposed to something really robust, because I would want to pair these as opposed to, you know, fight them. If I had a cigar that was too robust, it would, because of the sweetness of this tequila, yeah, I think they would fight each other. They'd be at odds. Because this añejo is not super strong, but it's not really sweet either. So I think for me a mild Nicaraguan or any mild blend that you know, somebody out there who smokes maybe even more than me would want to pair it. But I think it's very pairable with a cigar. They probably did the right thing and headed to Vegas to do a cigar show. I think it's smart for them to do that.
I think this entire line has been very accessible and, you know, solidly crafted. It's not the most adventurous pick. It's not a weak pick. It's, you know, right down the center, I think.
I think so, too. I think, you know, when I first came across them, they were doing a lot of promotions in Asia. So my first thinking was that they weren't available in the U.S., but obviously they are. And we were real fortunate, you know, enough to have them send us samples. And then, of course, you received yours. They've been so accommodating. They're actually coming with us on our Heartland tour. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what we can pair this with, you know, whether, and, you know, Lisa is looking forward to apple picking and cheese pairing and stuff that is traditionally very Midwestern. And yet I think a lot of the tequilas that are coming on with us, people are going to be really, really surprised how easily pairable they are, you know?
Yeah. I can certainly see the Blanco getting paired with like a green apple.
Yeah. And, yeah, exactly. Honestly, I can see this añejo with some nice pears and apples as well, baked maybe, because I think it leans more toward a dessert like a digestif. Not super sweet, but it kind of leans in that direction.
I could probably go with like a guava apple with this fresh.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So it'll be a lot of fun to be able to, you know, play around with that. But I think the whole line is worthy of a Brand of Promise nomination for Blanco, Repo, Añejo, and obviously, you gotta love a tequila company that uses tissue.
Yeah, they've just, you know, they put a lot of attention into their design, and you can even see like some of the you know, just the curvature of the lines and the styling. You can see where they're sort of picking up on some Southeast Asian influences there.
I think so too. I think you're right. I think they're trying to be. And successfully so. I think they're trying to be everything for every market that they decide that they're going to go in. And they already know. If I just from judging from what I've had and what we've seen, I'm willing to bet that they already know which markets that they were planning on hitting to begin with anyway. That's probably part of the entire business plan anyway. I think it's very hardy though. I don't know about the Asian palate. You know, I've never traveled there, so I'm not sure what the people enjoy. But I think for maybe their palate, this would be a great adventure for them.
Yeah, and you know, it really features the agave.
Right.
It removes a lot of the other things you might get with, you know, more complexity that's added by, you know, playing with the heads and tails a bit. You know, they're really focusing on the agave, mm-hmm. and it keeps it very accessible and, you know, enjoyable.
Well, you know, and again, the Asian market for whiskey is very popular as well. So I think the whiskey forward, you know, aging that they've done is also they've been really successful. I think, if we start to zero in on what markets we feel that they're concentrating on, I think they've accomplished what they set out to do. you know, in a very elegant way. I believe that this is, and not just for, of course, the Asian market, but now they're in the States. So, you know, keep an eye out for them. I'm not exactly sure what the price points are. Neat part about it is,
I think the Blanco is 40, Reposado 45, and Añejo 50.
Wow, very accessible pricing.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a steal. Hey, go pick yourself up. You have no excuse. Pick yourself up a bottle, and then let us know if you're watching us on our YouTube channel. Right down at the bottom, let us know what you think. Give us your comments. We'd be more than happy to hear from you. Again, there's very limited information that we get from their POS, but it's beautiful
stuff. It would make a great host or hostess gift if you're, going to a party or...
And you don't even have to wrap it.
I know. It's a beautiful presentation.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but I gift wrap really badly. You always know when the kids always know when they get a present from you because, oh, Mike did this, huh?
Just scratch the price tag off from the liquor store.
That's it, and call it done because you're going to be a big hit. I'm Mike Morales here in San Antonio.
Rick Levy in San Diego.
You have been watching Sipping Off the Cuff, where we have been talking about Tres Ochos, 888 Tequila. Get a hold of them. Brand of Promise nominee, Blanco, Repo, and Añejo, and for packaging. You can't go wrong. Again, if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe, will you? Subscribe down there. And as always, as we say in English, we'll now say it in Spanish, tomar sabiamente. Sip.